Victorious, we're at a time right now that I think will transform this community like no other. And there's nothing like feeling the energy, the excitement. There is nothing like right now knowing that, you know what, I am a part of something special. And when you walk through that doors, our desire is for you to feel like you are on nothing less than a championship team. Amen? Amen. Amen. We want to exemplify that in all that we do. And on last week, as we kicked off our Kicks for Kids shoe giveaway, our efforts of giving away over 200 pairs of shoes, last week we talked about, and I want to catch up those who were not able to be here last Sunday. We talked about producing, making the greatest possibility that we can. In other words, we recognize that there are abilities, there are qualities that God has blessed us with, and these abilities and qualities help us to make someone's future much better than what it is. And so last week we talked about producing the greatest possibilities, and we learned that in order for us to produce the greatest possibilities, it means that I must give my greatest eagerness, enthusiasm, and effort. And so we realized that we can't be lax in our effort of giving away brand new pairs of shoes. We can't be laid back. We can't be on the defensive. But we have to move forward in an energetic, excited, enthused effort so that those around us will catch our energy and excitement. Then we talked about accepting accountability. In order for us to pull out, in order for us to give based on the potential that's inside of us, we need someone to hold us accountable. And so we have Jeff Brown, we have Mr. Deron Hunt, we have McBride here that are serving as our team captains. And when you decide today to give, they're going to hold you accountable. I'm just joking, y'all. They're going to stand beside you and look at how you write that. No. All right, because they want their teams to win. When you're on a team, you got to have someone on that team that's responsible for pulling out the potential of everyone on that team and holding everyone accountable for doing their jobs. And so in your packet of information, and I'm going to refer to it quite often, if you're going to be a part of a Kicks for Kids team, then out from the outset, what we're asking each family to do is to find 25 people that can give $25 so that we can give away as many pairs of shoes as possible. Now, for some of you, you may say, you know what? That just ain't me. I'm just going to write the check for $625 and be done with it. You know? I mean, think about it. We do that in school with our kids. They'll send home fundraising information, and we'll say, you know what? I'm just going to give all of that because I don't feel comfortable. I don't, you know, whatever the case may be. But in order for us to produce the greatest possibilities in the lives of those kids that are in DFACS, we got to have everyone doing their part. And these young men here, we're going to help you. We're going to encourage you. We're not going to beat you up, but we're going to encourage you to make sure that you are tapping into the best potential that God has placed inside of you. And then number three, we talked about that it's important for us to give generously and not grudgingly. We want your attitude about giving to be that of generosity. If your heart is not in it, then we can't win it. I'm flowing right now. I may ask for a beat. I'm not going to do that. But if your heart is not in it, there's no way that we can win this. Before you begin to give, now last week, those that were here, we gave you a whole week to think about it and to pray about it. For some of you, you and your family may have even fasted about what you want to give so that we can produce the greatest. How can we produce? How can we make the greatest possibilities? How can we make the future of the kids that are in DFACTS, the kids that are over in Grahamstown, South Africa, how can we make their future much better than what it is now? It means that we have to give generously and not grudgingly. I can't measure your generosity. Only God does. And He does it in such a great way. In us giving generously, and I'm just recapping, and not grudgingly, there's a specific perspective that we have to have about our life and the resources that God has given us. Number one, we can't have a deficient perspective about giving, but God suggests that our perspective be one of sufficiency. In other words, I will always have what I need when I set out and when I decide in my heart to sow seeds. Someone say, sow seeds. There you go. I can't be on the defensive. I have to be on the offensive. I can't escape loss. I have to pursue vision. I can't be reactive to this. I have to be proactive in my generosity so that it doesn't infringe upon the budget that I live by every single day. All right? I'm a firm believer. Folks, we have to live. This is not a financial series, but I pray, live by a budget. And when you live by a budget, you will see how much more generous you can be to the people in the community, to families, to friends, and most of all, to have the greatest impact possible on the kingdom of God. Victorious, our perspective about giving is not one of stagnation, but it's one of multiplication, and we're going to see that in the Word of God. We don't give, when we give grudgingly, it's one of stagnation. And grudgingly, a grudging spirit means that I have to hold on to what I have because I'm fearful and I don't have enough faith to believe that God will multiply what I give. And so it infringes upon our opportunities and perspectives to be generous. Then finally, deficient perspective is one of win-lose. I always think that there's something for me to lose in it. There may be something for me to gain, but there's also something for me to lose. But when I have a sufficiency perspective about giving, then it is a win-win situation, and I understand that God is a God who blesses the sower. God is the one who supplies seed to the sower. And then finally, we encourage all of us, we encouraged us in our giving, and that our giving must be premeditated, must be predetermined, and must be pre-planned. We don't want impulse giving. You know, we'll take it, but you know, but man, how much more generous could you be if you would think about the giving in your life? No longer will we run to Walmart 15 minutes before the party, you know, and grab something off the clearance rack when we go to the baby, when we go to a party. Because even at our kids' parties, it's an opportunity for us to create a win-win situation in what we, in how we give. You ever been in a situation, you go into a party and you know you have not done your best in giving, and you hope that, you know, the parents of that child who's having a birthday party, you hope that they don't open the gifts while you're there? Because you know when they open those gifts while you're there, they're sitting there and they're reading every single card and they're hollering out, thank you, Allens, for that gift, you know, and it's not the best gift that I could have done because I have not meditated on the gift. I have not determined in my heart, nor have I developed any plan whatsoever when it comes to how I give. And so last week we asked and we ended with this question. I want you to think about this. What happens When we decide to give our greatest gift, knowing that it will produce the greatest possibilities in someone's life. What would happen, Victorious, if today we kicked off Kicks for Kids campaign and we raised the most that we have ever raised, knowing that this money is going to produce in the lives of those that are the least of us a great possibility? Your amount of income that you make, okay, doesn't matter. You may make $10,000. You may be a college student right now. You may get an allowance from your parents right now. But you still can give. And you have the opportunity today, Victorious, to give the greatest gift. Not just what we habitually write out on the offering envelope, but the greatest gift that I can possibly give, because I know that it's going to make a huge difference in someone's life. I pray that there will never be a spirit over this church where people give to the church in a grudging manner because they don't trust what's happening with the funds. That happens quite often, where people will come into the church and they're turned off because of what may happen. But today, think about your relationship with God. Think about what Jesus has done for you and say, today, I am going to give my greatest gift. And when I give my greatest gift, here's what happens. It produces in others the greatest praise. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. We're going to go back there and listen to what the Apostle Paul has to say to us. 2nd chapter, verse number 9 through 10. And I just want to share with you what the Apostle Paul says. We talked about it last week a little bit, verses 1 through 7. We talked about how sowing seeds was important and what happens when we sow a sparingly seed as opposed to a bountifully seed. Okay? And so in verse number 10 and 11, here's what it says. It says, now he who sows, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving or in praise to God. Someone say, produce. Someone say, produce the greatest praise. Produce the greatest praise. Real quickly, here in verse number 10, we see the Apostle Paul starts out by saying, now. Everyone say, now. And when the Apostle Paul uses this word, what he is doing, Victorious, is summarizing what we have just read in the previous verses. So he says, now, listen to what I'm about to say. Now that you have heard this information, now that you have learned this information, then here is what's about to happen. And so let's go back to verse number 8, and I want to help you to understand what how Paul is transitioning so that we will understand the benefits of us sowing generous seeds. In verse number 8, it says this, and God, everyone say, and God, is able to bless you abundantly. If we're going to produce the greatest praise possible, then it's for us understanding that God is the one that positions us abundantly. It's not my job. It's not my hustle. It's not my grind. But according to verse number 8, it is God who is able to bless us abundantly. And here is why God wants to do it. So that in all things, everyone say all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Say every good work. Every birthday party. Every company party. You see, here is what God wants to do. And what we do as individuals, we allow society to dictate how we give. Have you ever been to that company party and they say, you know what? The limit of the Dirty Santa gifts is what? $10. You're exactly right. You hit the nail on the head. But why is it that we give in to what they have dictated about our giving? And if God is such a great God, and in all things He wants us to abound in every good work, then if we would have the mentality that everything that I'm involved in is a good work of God, then it's an opportunity for me to give abundantly. It's not for show. It's not so that people will, you know, pump you up about what you have given. But when we see what God has given us in His Son Jesus Christ, then at some point it should compel us to give the best that we can. Why am I giving a $25 gift at the company party rather than a $10 gift? Is because I want people to see Jesus in me. I want people to know that I am not blessed because of the job, the title that I have, but I am blessed based on verse number 8 that says that God is able to bless you abundantly. Paul helps us to understand in verse number 10, he helps us to understand this. He goes on after he says, now. He's transitioning. He has summarized. He's about to summarize what has just happened in verses, in the previous verses, in verse 1 through 9. He says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. In order for us to produce the greatest praise possible, we have to believe that God positions us to do it. Paul recognized that God is the great supplier. He said that whatever we have to give has already been first given to us by who? By God. So God gives to us first in order for us to give to others. And when we understand that, then we will take our resources, we will take our gifts, we will take our talent, we will take our time, because God has given it to us first. Now we will begin to invest in every good work of God. I'm not working for earthly masters. I'm working for God. Colossians 3:23, what was it? For whatever we do it as if we are working unto the Lord. So God has positioned us to be blessed abundantly so that we can begin to invest in His work. He goes on to say, and He will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You see, God positions us to produce this greatest praise by supplying and multiplying your seed. He doesn't just supply your seed, but he says, I'm not just going to stop at giving seed, but I'm going to take it a step further and I'm going to multiply their seeds. When we understand how God operates, then we realize that God's economic system is not of supply and demand. But when God developed this heavenly system of how to operate economically, it is one of supply and multiply. Someone say supply and multiply. So in your life, everything about who you are, everything about what you want to be, is about God supplying you with who you are so that he can then multiply you. When we go over before Jesus had come back and talked to his disciples, he gave them the Great Commission. And he says, go ye therefore into all the nations and make disciples. In other words, multiply who you are. I have given you power. I have given you the ability to forgive. I have given you the ability to love. I have given you the ability to be generous and to be kind. So now I have supplied you with these spiritual and even earthly gifts. Now it's time to multiply. Wouldn't it be great, we'll pump you up a little bit, if this world was made of people that thought just like you? Because most of us think that our thinking is the right way of thinking, right? In every aspect of our lives. No, don't challenge the way that I think. But feel me on this. God says that I'm going to supply you with the seed, so when you sow those seeds, they will begin to multiply. He not only supplies the seeds, but he multiplies the seeds. And God does this so that our harvest of righteousness will be enlarged. Our harvest of righteousness will be enlarged. When we realize the reality of our subjection to the gospel, then it will compel us to give. When we realize our subjection, our submissiveness to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the good news of Jesus Christ, the reality is that I believe everything about the gospel. And because I believe and because I have submitted and given my whole entire life to the gospel, now my belief system will now be shown in how I give. Because I believe the gospel that says that Jesus Christ was crucified, he suffered, he bled, and he died, but he resurrected so that I can experience life, but not only experience life, but experience it to the abundance. And when my life is one of abundance, it means that I have more than what I really need. And because I have more than what I really need, then I can begin to give to others. It is so much greater to be on the side of giving than receiving. So in verse number 11, here's what I want to leave you with today. Verse number 11, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. The more you give, the more God gives to you. How many of us have seen the Oprah Big Give and the shows where she used to give away all these things? Something powerful about that opportunity, first of all, of being on the giving end. Second of all, it is something powerful to see how people celebrate what they have received as a result of your generosity. Let's take a look at this video here, and it'll give us an idea of the opportunity we have right here before us.
We've given away televisions and refrigerators and pajamas and free trips and just the very idea of giving away a whole car to somebody. I just think that's just one of the most incredible moments ever.
The show started with a stunt designed to throw the audience off the scent as Oprah called 11 unsuspecting people up on stage.
Randy and Becky Thomas, where are you?
It's about teachers. You know I love teachers, okay? Okay.
There they all are.
Now, I just want to tell y'all right now, we've been lying to you. I admit right here now, on this stage, you're really here because you all share a wildest dream. Every single one of you desperately needs a brand new car! Pull it in, boys!
The audience thinks it's over, but Oprah's just getting started.
You just saw 11 viewers score their wildest dream. Each one of them is the proud new owner of a brand new Pontiac G6. That was really exciting. I thought that was cool. Okay, but I got a little twist. Because as you saw, there's 11 of them, and I said that there were 11 cars outside, but really I have one car left. I have one car left. Hold on. And someone in this audience still has the chance to go home with a brand new, fully loaded Pontiac G6. G6. Okay, right now, everybody in the audience, now listen to me carefully, is being given a special package, and I don't want you to open it. Do not shake it. Do not open. Take the box and hold it in your lap. Do not open. And now here's the deal. Listen carefully. Inside one of these boxes is a key. Do not open it yet. If your box has a key, you will be the last person today to get one of those cute little G6s. Okay? Who will it be? Are you ready? Hold on. Are you ready? JR is back in our audio booth. JR, this calls for a drum roll. Cue the drum roll. All right, open your boxes. 1, 2, 3. The reason why I was screaming the words is because other people were screaming so loudly, I thought they didn't understand or wouldn't understand what had just happened and what I was saying.
Amen. What would happen, Victorious, if you gave right now your greatest gift possible? It would produce the greatest possibility. And wouldn't it be awesome to see people celebrate, to see people praise God, to see people give thanksgiving to God, all because of your generosity? Look at this last passage of scripture, last statement here that Paul says. He says, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. After all the giving is done and all the liberality is shown by us, then at that moment, thanksgiving would then go out to to God. So we don't give to be pumped up. We don't give so that our names can be on a billboard. We don't give so that people can see what we're doing and we feel good about ourselves. But we give so that in the end, it will produce the greatest possible praise ever. And how great would it be that when we decide to go on July 25th, and show up at Sports Authority with more than 200 kids, and we have given all that we can give. We have given the best that we can give. We didn't lack in this giving. We were not bashful in this giving. We did not hold back our giving, but we said, you know what? Right now in Gwinnett County, as a matter of fact, not in Gwinnett County, but in this world, we want to produce the greatest praise to our God.